GLO News, I'm Harley Martin. 33% of Canadian city dwellings have tested high for lead levels in drinking water. That's according to a sweeping report published by a consortium of news agencies and universities, which includes students from Concordia University's journalism department. The federal limit for lead is 5 parts per billion. Several cities have historically tested under the limit by using a testing method that minimizes the results by flushing the water for 5 minutes before taking a sample. From the 1950s through to the 1970s, most cities replaced municipal service lines, though lead in piping and solder is still common in private systems. Montreal Mayor Valerie Plante has allocated $500,000 to replace municipal infrastructure, which currently may put 300,000 people at risk of exposure. Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations Chief Bobby Cameron is calling on the government to stop the appeal process of an order to compensate victims of the on-reserve welfare system. The Canadian Human Rights Tribunal ordered the Canadian government to give $40,000 to each victim of the system, which forcibly removed thousands of Indigenous children from their homes. The government requested a judicial review of the order 2 weeks before the election. Meanwhile, CBC News reports Ottawa is in talks to settle a separately proposed $6 billion class action lawsuit to compensate victims of the welfare system. In India, residents of the capital Delhi are being urged to stay indoors and avoid any physical activity as dense toxic smog continues to cover the city. The pollution is believed to be caused by farmers burning fields in districts surrounding the city. A public health emergency has been declared, and officials are attempting to distribute 5 million respiratory masks to residents in order to reduce the impacts of the pollution. To hear the newscast or learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
Talento, fortuna, esperienza, impegno, costanza, coerenza. Tra genio e follia c'è poca differenza, hanno lo stesso punto di partenza.
Ma se sei solo e ti perdi e non va come vorresti tu, non c'è un navigatore né un tutorial su YouTube. È bello se ti riconoscono, è bello se vai in TV, ma è meno bello quando sei tu che non ti riconosci più. Tutto è più facile visto dagli occhi degli altri, perché quando non sei tu che piangi, gli occhi sono meno rossi e meno grandi. Se vinci ti vogliono bene, ti fanno la ola, ti cantano un coro. La vittoria è una cosa di squadra, ma se perdi, perdi da solo. Per ogni ballerina che ha male i piedi e si medica, per ogni calciatore che risparmia per le scarpe nuove, ogni studente che non mangia si dimentica, o musicista che anche da stanco va in sala prove. Per ogni sportivo, artista, regista, scrittore, fotografo, astronauta, cantante o disegnatore, se c'è riuscito uno possiamo farlo tutti. Il tuo sudore, la tua occasione, che fai, la butti?
Nulla è impossibile se credi quello che fai, se credi quello che
fai. Just so much to talk about here on the Calcio Guys this week, just with Adriano DiNardo. I'm Nicholas Di Giovanni, and you know what? I wanted to start with Napoli. It's rare that we have to talk about Napoli in such a negative sense. And unfortunately, Gianni couldn't make it in today. So he texted me what he wanted to say, Adriano. And you know what? With your Milan, I feel like we've been talking about it week in, week out, their struggles. Another bad, I wouldn't say a terrible week. They beat Spal with Stefano Pioli's first win, and then they lost to Lazio. But yeah. Napoli had a much worse week.
Yeah, I think just maybe like besides the score lines, I think just a mentality thing too. I think they're on a bit of a burnout, this Napoli side, a team that we've praised in the past, and I mean they've been solid these past couple of years, to, you know, fighting for the Scudetto. This year, I mean, it's a different story. I mean, it's still early, as we've always said. It's only what, 11 match days in, so it's still early to judge. But I think, you know, every team goes through a bit of a rough patch, some longer than others. You don't expect this from a Carlo Ancelotti coach team with Napoli, but I mean, every team goes through a rough patch. They don't play as well. Confidence, I mean, it didn't seem like there is any motivation, but yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a rough patch, and I think a team like Napoli with the quality that they have, I think they can get definitely through this.
So I texted Gianni. This is what he had to tell me.
Yeah.
We need to bolster the team up with more additions, and the answer is not up front. They need a competent left back and some good pieces in the mid. Getting rid of Jorginho is still affecting them. Diawara was an underrated piece of good passing, and guys like Ruiz have been dropping the ball in terms of their expectations that have been set for them. And about Ancelotti, he said, Ancelotti needs to deliver in the Champions League. If he continues with his poor performance, he just ends his sentence there. Then he says he's doing worse than Sadi at this point. And I asked him, is it Ancelotti out already? I can't believe we're even bringing that up, Adriano. Is it? I don't think it is, but I asked him. He said, no, not Ancelotti out. Guy has won 3 Champions League, more like hashtag Ancelotti, please do better, mister. We had high hopes for you.
I mean, I think he summed it up more or less pretty well in that little text there, but yeah, absolutely, I agree. Ancelotti has to stay in. I think the Ancelotti out is a bit of frustration from Napoli fans. I get it. I mean, I'm a Milan fan. We've been going through hell for the past 8 years, so you know, you get a coach like Ancelotti to coach your team, and I mean, you don't take it for granted. He's a Champions League winner on and off the pitch, so I think he's done a lot in his career, and I don't think that this little rough patch puts, you know, a damper on everything that he is and everything that he can hopefully achieve with this Napoli side.
So in about 10 minutes time, maybe just a bit less, we're going to have Dimitri Grigoriadis join us to talk about refereeing. And I'm excited about this one, Adriano, because it's a different guest. We get a different point of view. I know we like to criticize the referees a lot. And so at least Dimitri will be able to bring in his perspective as a high-level referee.
Common ground.
If the name sounds familiar, we had his brother Elias on last year. I forget if it was in November, December, January. I don't know. That I can't remember. But they're going to become the first set of brothers.
On the Calcio guys.
On the Calcio guys. Napoli struggling. EDL, Aurelio De Laurentiis, is sending them into, basically sent them into retreat from their game on Saturday until their Champions League game today against Salzburg. Apparently Ancelotti didn't like that, so that could be an interesting story to follow. But just north of them, Lazio and Roma, they have the exact same form going for them right now. 3 wins in a row. That was after 2 draws for each team. And you know what? With Roma, again, I asked Gianni, and with Roma, I think they're exceeding any expectation so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to put an expectation on a team with you know, a new coach, a new system. You don't know how he's gonna adapt to the whole league with you know, Fonseca coming in to coach his Roma side. I mean, personally, I didn't know too much about him, you know, with his past there, but he brings I think more of an offensive style of game and game plan to this Roma side. And despite all the injuries, I think they've been, you know, as I say, I pretty much say every week, you know, buying into the system is key, you know, from coaches to players. And I think slowly this Roma side has done that with Fonseca. I mean, we saw, you know, some great results. You know, them too, Roma, they're a bit of like a flip-flop team, but I mean, I'm pretty impressed. And I'm, as Johnny said, as you said, you know, exceeding expectations, I think, is exactly what is going on. I don't think many people expected them to do so well with the injuries that they have. And I mean, still only depending on, I feel, you know, Jekyll up top, and, you know, he goes down, who are you going to bring in? But I think, out of all that, the biggest talking point, besides, you know, Fonseca's system working and these players buying into it, I think, you know, the young star, Zaniolo, has to get a nod and has to get a bit of a shout out, just because, I think he's finally coming into his own. And, you know, I think the world has definitely seen this young kid. And I think, you know, he has a lot to prove still, but I think he's been doing very, very well. And I mean, his goal over the weekend and even against Milan, what was it, last week or so, you know, spectacular, and there's not enough good things to say about Zaniolo.
Now here's some danger for Napoli. They've got plenty of bodies up in support, and that's a wonderful finish. Nicolò Zaniolo continuing this rampant run of form.
So that was Zaniolo's goal in the Derby del Sole, or as Gianni likes to call it, the Derby degli Colli. So yeah. Because it's his two teams,
this
so it's
guy.
His derby, so he was going to end up happy either way.
Yeah.
And Carlo Ancelotti wasn't coaching, it was his son Davide.
Yeah.
So at least there was an Ancelotti still in the game. And then I asked Gianni about Roma. He said, Zaniolo is a blessing in disguise, and when I set my expectations of him being the second coming of Christ for Roma last year when they said 9 Golan, I was hurt because I love Ninja, but Dab Nicolo might be that second coming.
Easy.
And
easy. Second coming of Christ,
yeah.
It's a little early for things like that.
So can't confirm, according to Gianni Del Colli, that Nicolo Zaniolo is the second coming of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think there's a second coming of Jesus on the other side of Rome, and he goes by the name of Ciro Immobile.
His lads are Immobile! Classic Ciro Immobile, who scores his 100th Lazio goal in some style. Silences San Siro. Milan looking a bit open here. That's a lovely ball. It's Correa! Thumped it home. The president can celebrate.
So not only Immobile, but also Joaquin Correa's goal against Milan. So Milan fought back. I mean, was it ruled a known goal, the Piontek goal?
I think that's what they listed it as. But at first, I did see a bit of a deflection off Piontek's foot there, and then obviously going off of Bastos. But I think it was going to be on target anyways. But regardless, I think they had listed it as a known goal, so on Bastos.
Regardless, Milan loses again.
Yeah.
And you know what? I was watching it, and the San Siro emptied out really quickly, and I mean, we talk about this every week, Adriano. It's just a frustrating time, and there was some glim light of hope after that game against Spal. You know, the free kick by Suso,
yeah,
and then just went all crashing down against Lazio.
Yeah, listen. I mean, you know, the back-to-back match days, 10 and 11, and in quick rotation. You know, you have to get your team all on board, and Pioli, you know, obviously just coming in. So it's kind of hard to do that, but I don't know. They didn't play the greatest. I didn't catch all the Spal game because I was at work, but I know I didn't. I heard that they didn't play it too well, and they still got a result, which is surprising to me because it always seems like we get the short end of the stick in those situations. But you know, they play. I think I watched the Milan Lazio game obviously, and I did see you know, some positive signs early on in the game. I think they, you know, they controlled the game well, and you know, that Immobile goal. I mean, personally, it's a brain fart defensively. You know, you have one guy in Immobile between the back four of Milan, and I mean, you take your odds on that one. You would hope that, you know, the Milan defense can come through, but I mean, Immobile, the movement on the ball and just his knack for a goal this season and just in his career generally is second to none. So I mean, shout out for him, 100th goal with the Lazio shirt. But I mean, Milan's got to be definitely better defensively. You know, you can't just be giving these teams gifts and stuff like that. So and then, you know, the dagger at the end, Correa. I mean, another defensive the issue. I mean, Duarte trying to, you know, pinch a bit and left Correa all on its own. But I mean, Lazio played a good game, and I mean, Milan just again on the short end of the stick. But I mean, I thought we could have gotten a draw out of it, and coming up with the games that they have in Juve and in Napoli after the international break, I mean, it's going to be tough, and they need all the points they can get. So it's frustrating for Milan fans, but I think, you know, slowly you have to continue to believe and you know, keep on backing this team.
So quickly, about 20 seconds before we have to cut the break, Roma-Lazio, Roma 22 points, Lazio 21 points. If you had to take one team, I guess to coach or just Which is the better team right now, Roma or Lazio?
Quickly, I'm gonna say Roma. Just define the odds. I mean, injuries of all kinds. New coach in Fonseca. Whereas, you know, Lazio, you know, have been with Inzaghi, as we've mentioned many times over these past couple of years. So that system's kind of in place. And I personally think, you know, Roma, despite everything, I think they're a bit superior, not by much. I mean, there's only a point difference between these teams. I think personally, with everything that I've said, like Fonseca in this whole team buying into a new system, I think they're just a step ahead of Lazio at the moment.
All right, we're going to cut to break. On the other side of break, Dimitri Grigoriadis, the referee, will talk to us about all the controversy in the City at this weekend here on the Calcio Guys on CJO 6090.
Cinema Politica Concordia is back for the fall 2019 semester with your weekly dose of inspiring political documentaries from around the world. Screenings take place every Monday in room H110 of the Hall Building at the Downtown Concordia campus. All events are free and open to the public. For full listings and information on special screenings, guest speakers, and how to get involved, visit cinemapolitica.org/concordia.
Hello, I'm Rich Jason. Do you think all electronic music is the same? On Rick Sessions, we play everything, from the most energetic to the calm, from the euphoric to the gloomy, from the cutting edge of the music scene to tracks that have stood the test of time, from 100 BPM to 180 BPM, and everything in between. Plus, you'll get to listen to a weekly mix performed live by me. Rigged Sessions is on air every Thursday from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern, live only on CJLO 1690 AM and on CJLO.com.
You're listening to CJLO, shoo-ba-doop. You're listening to CJLO, shoo-ba-doop. You're listening to CJLO.
Oh, yeah! Shoo-ba-doop. CJLO! We got the soul! Oh, yeah!
CJLO!
I can't feel it!
CJLO!
It's so smooth! We like sand, baby! Sand for your sheep! CJLO!
Welcome back to the Calcio Guys on CJO 6090. So we have a special guest this week, a referee for Quebec Soccer, refs at the AAA level, Dimitri Grigoriadis. How's it going?
Very good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. So we had your brother on our show last year, so you guys become the first brother duo as guests on our show.
Sounds great.
So you obviously ref at a pretty high level, and in Italy right now, there's just a lot of controversy about the referees, and I wanted to ask you about a couple of incidents that happened last week, and we're going to start off maybe about the Mario Pasalic high boot, something not a lot of people talked about on social media, but it was still important. High boot and only gets yellow, so what did you see there?
Now, from what I saw, obviously through replays, the referee, he doesn't get many replays during the game. So what I saw, the foot was extremely high and made contact with the head. Now, when the foot is that high, right away you have to think red card. So, obviously, I would have given a red card. Now, I wasn't in the VAR room, so we can't know what the VAR was thinking. But definitely, 100%, that should have been a red card. Because he does, although it is an attempt on the ball, it would be considered serious foul play. And serious foul play is a direct red card. And the restart should have been the penalty kick, since the contact was made inside the area.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I saw that and I was confused myself. So Dimitri, quickly moving on, obviously there was another big incident in the Napoli-Atalanta game. Simon Kjær on the Fernando Llorente in the box incident. He took him down, but there also was a bit of an elbow towards Kjær from Llorente. Obviously, in the end, it wasn't called. No VAR check, or at least no going to the monitor check. Obviously, Atalanta went the other way and scored to tie the game. What do you make of that whole incident and that whole collision in the box?
For this incident, I believe the ref did the right thing by waiting and seeing the development of the play. As the ball was being crossed in, Llorente, accidental or not, the referee can't be the judge of that because we can't judge intent, but he does throw the elbow at Kjær and does make contact with him. Now, as soon as the contact is made, you can see Simon hold his head and starts to fall down in a natural position. while then falling on top of Llorente. Now, I wouldn't have called this since Llorente committed the previous foul, and as the ball was coming in, the goalie picks up the ball and plays it right away. Now, I think that was a great use of advantage done by the referee, and obviously, you guys saw, this play led to a goal about 1 minute later. But the reason I would not have gone to the VAR check is the VAR is only to be able to fix specific and very flagrant mistakes, and this was a judgment call that the refs made perfectly. So I don't think VAR should have been using the assistants, and the refs did a good job on waiting and seeing.
And one thing we like to talk about here on the Calcio Guys, handballs. And the handball rule is different across FIFA this year. A couple of changes. They're moving. If it was intentional or not, it's all about now making your body bigger. But then there's a rule about deflections, and we saw that with Matthias De Ligt for Juventus against Torino at the weekend. So can you just clarify not only about that situation, but just about this whole handball rule?
Now, speaking from De Ligt's point, he was, in this case, a defender. So what applies to the defender is that if the defender himself, his arms are in a natural position and do not make him unnaturally bigger, then if the ball is deflected, like in this case it was a header, off, and hits his arm, the foul should not be called because, one, the reaction time was way too fast for De Ligt to actually make a deliberate attempt to make the handball. But also, the fact is that you could tell in the video, he tries to back away his hand from the ball, which means even though it's a split-second reaction, he is not trying to handle the ball in any way. And the one difference that we should make is that now with the 2019-2020 laws of the game, they've been amended to more favor a defender's position. So if the ball is ever, even if it's a deflection, if it lightly touches the arm of an attacker and then this leads to a scoring opportunity or a goal, the goal will be reversed. And that's what they're trying to do to limit offensive handballs. Sometimes there's big complaints of if it's deliberate or if it's not. But especially with VAR this year, they're doing a much better job than they are last year on cracking down on these types of fouls.
So, Dimitri, moving on to another incident that I personally had no idea why this was called, and I'm pretty sure Nicholas can say the same thing. There was a whole incident in the Roma, the Udinese-Roma game, Federico Fazio getting the red card in about the 31st minute, taking down, I'm not sure who the attacking player was, but I mean, a bit of a foul, yes. It was given a red card, and I don't think anybody really understood why. Can you make any sense of that incident over there?
Yeah. So in this game, the tackle was made one as a second to last defender, but that isn't the reason the red card. The red card was given for a dog show. And now that in the laws of the game means denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity. So when the through ball is put in, the attacking player has the best chance of making contact with the ball, but no touch has been made. So when the player throws the shoulder, the ball is too far away from proximity, and he's judged not playing the ball. Now, if the attacker does get the touch and goes by, he's in on goal, which makes it an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. And that's simply why the red card was given. I spoke even with some of Quebec's highest referees, and although it could be controversial because it was shoulder-to-shoulder, in the end, most of them agreed that the red card was the right choice and the red card should have been given.
I guess we can't complain too much, right? Because this is why we got an actual referee on our show to kind of clarify everything. You know the laws of the game to the T, right?
I would like to think I do, but mainly what people don't understand and what this has happened a lot, especially with the amendments of the laws in the past couple of years, is that denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity outside of the area obviously leads in a direct red card, but denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity inside the area leads to a yellow card. And I've heard a lot of controversy about this because 1 yard can make a difference between a red and a yellow card. But this is now done because FIFA has amended the laws to say, well, if one team receives a penalty, they should be double punished by also losing a player.
I guess that's why they say, you know, it's a game of inches.
Very true.
Yeah, very. I mean, in all sports, I think, personally. But another thing we wanted to, you know, bring up, Dimitri, I mean, I know Italy is notorious for this, or the Serie A is notorious for this. I'm not sure too much about the other leagues there, but definitely in the Serie A, it happens pretty much every game. Crowding of the referee. Players like to get into referees' faces. It's always an argument. There's always a discussion to be said, and no matter what the call is. How do you personally maybe, deal with stuff like that? And if it's not players, if it's coaches, if it's fans, whatever the case may be, how do you deal with all this pressure on when you have to make calls, or just when you make a call and then the aftermath that happens?
Well, the one thing that we're taught very, very, we have to focus on is communication.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the players that are refereeing in the Serie A and the referees, they see each other on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
All of the big five professional leagues, there's a select number of center referees that are refereeing. So there's relationships between the referees over weeks, months, even years. Now, for us, where it's very different, sometimes we might see one team one year and then never see them again. We're really focused on being communicative with the players, with the coaches, and with team officials as well. So as long as we're open, we're always in the ear of the players, it makes us feel like we're a part of the game instead of just bystanders. Because as bystanders, we lose a lot of credibility when either we make a call that doesn't go a specific team's way and stuff like that. So definitely, I would say the communication, but also holding the ground. I remember one of the referees that I was mentored under always said you have to be strict but fair. So, yes, you have to hold your position, but also you have to be understanding of the situation. These are still soccer players. They're playing the sport because they love them, and you can't always be super aggressive and attack them, because then there won't be a connection between you and the players, and that's where games usually get out of hand, like you said, especially in this area.
Fair enough.
And as a referee yourself, obviously, the level you're at, there's no VAR. The call that's made is the final call. So, obviously, you're not perfect. You've made mistakes. So, whenever that mistake happens and the other team comes yelling at you, whatever, how do you kind of deal with that? And kind of, do you admit your mistake on the field? Do you go back to it after, talk with a supervisor? Like, what's that process like?
Well, essentially, if there is a call that is made that either is tricky or is very controversial, most of the time, if I am the center ref, or even the same thing, if I am one of the assistant referees, always making eye contact with the other, always keeping a perfect line of communication. And then if there is, like, even a hunch to say that, oh, maybe this call, there's something different, one of the ARs saw something else, then there will be an approach between the AR and the referee, and they will talk about it very, very quickly, either 15 to 20 seconds, just to get all the information out, get all the facts out, and see what is the appropriate call made. Because in the end, we are there for the players, and the right calls should, as often as possible, the right calls should be made. And it does happen that referees make mistakes, but as long as through communication, that's why I said before that communication is the most important virtue of a referee. As long as there's communication between the referees themselves, between the players, between the team officials, then that's where most of the smooth sailing comes from.
Anyways, thanks a lot for joining us here on the Calcio Guys, Dimitri.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, guys.
Have a good one.
Take it easy.
You too.
Ciao. Anyways, that was Dimitri Grigoriadis, who cleared up some really controversial calls in the Serie A this weekend. And coming up on the Calcio Guys on CJO 6090, more coaches fired in Italy.
Hey kids, you like heavy and hard music? Want to be part of a morbid seance? You might just want to take a listen to the kind words of Hunter, our Lord and Savior.
To find the way to the gateway to the underground, first you must listen to the Iron Club. Tune in on Thursdays at 1 p.m. on CJLO 1690 AM.
Welcome to the ritual.
We have the students on the run. And as children finish school, we will continue helping them to gamble their lives and futures on drugs.
This is CJLO.
Thank you for listening.
Nicely done, Oliva, surging forward and slipping in Giovanni Simeone, and it's swept home by Oliva. Cagliari have a second. He started the move, and he completed it as well.
A shock win for Cagliari against Atalanta in the Serie A this weekend. here on the Calcio Guys with Adriano DiNardo, and I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni on CJO 1690. So there was two match days since we last spoke last Tuesday, and six teams won both games. Inter, Juve, Cagliari, Lazio, Roma, and unfortunately, Verona. We'll talk about that later. Five teams who lost both games: Genoa, Brescia, Bologna, Torino, Spal, and then Atalanta, Napoli, Parma, Sassuolo each lost one and drew one. Lecce drew both. Udinese lost one, won one, lost one. So did Milan, and then Fiorentina and Sampdoria each drew one and won one. And so,
a little play on words.
So Cagliari's looking really good. They're up in sixth place right now, just a point behind third. They went up to third at some point in the weekend.
It was fourth, I believe.
They were fourth at some point in the weekend. They went up to fourth before Lazio played. That's it.
Exactly.
So they got to be really happy. And I know we've talked about Rolando Moran. He's just done a fantastic job. This is a guy who was fired from Chievo. You know, when you get fired from a low team like Chievo, obviously the only way to go is up. And obviously, Moran's done that in this case.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Moran, I think it's a little bit of Moran mania right now. I saw that little hashtag from our buddy Greg at the Fanta Calcio game there.
I don't think he has to buy a meal in Sardinia.
Yeah, exactly. I think everything's paid for over there. But I think Moran doing a fantastic job with his Cagliari side, as we mentioned. I don't think he's getting enough credit. His team is up in six, like you said. I think, again, Moran, I think, has been there now a couple of seasons. And I think slowly with the board, I think, behind him and, the players, once again, buying into the system that Moran is putting into place with the acquisitions that they got this summer with, Ninja Nainggolan there. And I think Robin Olsen's been looking a lot better than his Roma days. A goalkeeper that we would have never thought would play in Serie A again because he was just terrible for Roma. I think he rejuvenated a bit in Sardinia. And I think just overall, I think they've been getting, the results that they've needed. They played some good teams, especially this weekend against Atalanta, Champions League team in Atalanta. So for a team like Cagliari that's usually middle of the pack, bottom end, flip-flopping between those positions, it's a big step in the right direction. With that being said, I mean, it is still early, as we've mentioned time and time again. So we don't know, how they'll continue on, past January. But, I hope they do well. And I hope, they can stay maybe in the top 10. It would be nice. And I think an achievement for this squad. And, if they do that, I think they'll be on their way.
And what I like about what Cagliari did with Moran, he was brought in last year. So he was fired by Chievo in April 2018, brought in for last season with Cagliari. They didn't have the most fantastic season. They finished only 3 points out of relegation. But instead of firing him, instead of saying, we didn't finish in the top 10, this and that, they kept him on. They believed in him. And that's paid off. That's unlike some teams right now in the Serie A, a.k.a. I wouldn't put Milan in that category because they have much higher expectations. But Genoa, Udinese, Brescia, you could even argue Sampdoria, but yeah. Udinese and Brescia, they're the last two teams to fire their coaches. Igor Tudor out in Udinese after his team allowed 7 goals against Atalanta and Roma. I think that's completely unfair to him.
I think it was 11 goals in 2 games, no? That they allowed.
Or sorry, 11 goals. They allowed 7 goals just against Atalanta and then 4 more. Okay, whatever. 11 goals in 2 games, but against two top teams in the league, you're going to fire a coach over that unless there was more problems in the dressing room, unless there was more disagreements between the coaching, the coaches and management. But at the same time, they haven't found a replacement for him yet. Luca Gaudi came in as a caretaker coach for one game against Genoa, which they won. But why are you going to fire a guy when you don't have a replacement for him? It doesn't make sense. And then Brescia, with Eugenio Carini, our friend Joseph over at Calcio Fan Blogs commented on one of our posts on the Calcio Guys at Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's unrealistic for Brescia to think they're going to have this splendid season. They're just coming up from the Serie B. It's not like they have much experience in the Serie A in the past decade. Why are they going to put all this pressure on Carini? Fine, they bring in Grosso, but how much experience does he have? All due respect to the World Cup champion and our heroes, Fabio Grosso.
Yeah.
I don't get it sometimes.
It's tough. I think, I mean, in Italy, we've seen it time and time again. You know, the team's not doing well. It's the coach's fault. You know, fire the coach, sack a coach, bring somebody else in. Expecting that that move is going to cause, you know, you're going to wave a magic wand and everything is going to be, you know, solved. I personally don't agree with that. I said it before when, you know, when Gianpaolo was sacked. I mean, you know, no knock to Pioli there, but I mean, it wasn't, I don't think, the right situation to do. I mean, yes, okay, the team's not performing, or any team's not performing with a certain coach, and you think that, you know, just by getting rid of him, you know, everything's solved. As I said, I don't agree with that. And again, I agree with what you're saying about, you know, Grosso. You know, obviously, you know what he's done for the Italian national team, we'll never forget. But I mean, lastly, I think he was with Hellas in Serie B, I believe. You know, did a good job over there, but again, experience wise, what does he have under, besides that? I mean, not much, especially now in Serie A with a team that just came up to Serie B. Obviously, their expectation, I think, would be to stay in Serie A. I think every team wants to do that. So, it's a lot of pressure on Grosso's shoulders, I think. And obviously with, everything that Brescia has been going through, and, you know, obviously, you know, had even some additions, and you know, you have a superstar on your team in Tonali and Balotelli and Donnarumma as well, who can score. So I think it's a lot of pressure in a short period of time, and as I said time and time again, it's very, very early in the season.
And so, looking at other coaches, who do you think is on the hot seat? Who do you think is going to get fired next? Because it's not a matter of if someone's going to get fired next. This is Italy. It's a matter of
when and when
and when. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's really tough to say. I mean, you never know, one team can go on a bit of a burnout and you know, their coach will be out the door. As we said, opened the show with Ancelotti out, like, are you serious? Like, that's like ridiculous, you know? So if they're going to do that with a coach with that caliber, they're definitely going to be doing it with the bottom feeder teams. Off the top of my head, I can't really think of anybody. Maybe the Lecce coach, I don't know. I see now on the table Sassuolo down in 15th. I'm a personal fan of De Zerbi. I think he's a good manager, and I think he does some good things. The Lecce coach, I know he scares me, so he looks totally Liverani. What's his name? Liverani. Yeah, he totally scares the hell out of me. He's always brujad. He talk about grinta. I mean, I thought Gattuso had grinta. This guy, I think, blows him out of the water. He's just a scary human being, and I think if they would sack him, there would be some issues. But I mean, you know, it's tough to say. I would probably say, like, him. I know Mazzarri also was on the hot seat, but I don't think he should go out the door either. So, I don't know. I would say probably the Lecce coach. But again, as you said, what expectations can you have, you know, coming into the Serie A for this first time?
For me, 100%, Leonardo Semplici from Spal. He's
I like him too.
He has to be biting his nails right now because they're in dead last.
Yeah.
And the teams above them, the three teams above them, Brescia, Sampdoria, Genoa, have all fired their coaches.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a team, it's not like they just came up. This is a team that it's their third season in the Serie A, back in the Serie A. You know, they need to be better, especially considering their board goes out and buys players like Petagna, like Di Francesco. It's unacceptable, and it seems like Semplici is just, I wouldn't say lost control of his team.
No, I wouldn't say Ferrara, that.
I wouldn't trust them to stay there past December, until Christmas if Spal continues in the relegation zone.
So you think he's out the door by December, January, if he's not?
He could even be out next week with the international break.
That's it. We never know with these coaches and these teams.
So let's do our yellow card, red card, MVP. Let's actually do MVP first. Let's do the positive first because there's a lot of negatives.
Yeah.
We just talked to Dimitri about the VAR. By the way, the league is meeting with the coaches, officials, and captains about clarifications on VAR rulings.
Okay.
So I'm sure they're going to repeat a lot of the same things Dimitri just told us.
I think Dimitri should go over there to that meeting too. Maybe talk some sense into these referees.
Yeah, exactly. They'll have a Greek in a room full of Italians.
There you go. Maybe he'll knock some sense into them. Who knows?
But, MVP. Who was your MVP of the week?
Well, I saw what you put, and I agreed with both of them. I wanted to take one of them. I wanted to go for the guy that you put first. If that's okay.
You can.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So I will take that one. Gaetano Castrovilli, an up and coming star, I think, as well, alongside with other, you know, great players that we have in the Serie A. I believe throughout the two match days, he had 2 goals and an assist, I believe it was.
He contributed on all 3 Fiorentina goals.
That's it. And I think on the season, he has like 3 goals, 2 assists or something like that. So a guy that we didn't hear about, you know, in these past couple of seasons. I know he, you know, he was coming kind of through the ranks there, and now on this Fiorentina team that I personally, you know, have a little bit of a soft spot for, because I like what they're doing over there with, you know, the whole Comiso project. But Castrovilli coming out of his own, I mean, fantastic. He's a midfielder, and I think, I mean, a lot of teams, I think, should keep an eye on him. He's been unbelievable. As you said, contributing all 3 Fiorentina goals. I mean, it just shows you with guys that when they have, you know, Ribéry, obviously, you know, he's suspended, but Chiesa, Boateng, I mean, you know, all the guys that they have offensively, Castrovilli, the midfielder, you know, is getting the job done for the Viola, and I think it's positive signs. And I mean, I saw a lot of on, you know, social media, you know, oh my God, you know, Castrovilli is doing so good, this and that, like, should be called to the national team. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, say no to that, but I still think, again, it is early, and, you know, he still has a lot to prove, and I think he's still a bit raw. So, you know, getting more experiences with a team like Fiorentina, I think, can only do him better. And, you know, hopefully he can make it to the national team too, because I think he can be an extra spark coming off the bench, maybe even starting games with the midfielders that we already have. So for me, this week, definite MVP for Gaetano Castrovilli.
Miscued by Duncan, Chiesa, and Castrovilli, and it's in from Nikola Milenkovic. Castrovilli, the scorer of the equaliser and the provider for the second.
There's room for Dalbert, who's well forward now. It's a decent cross in. That's a wonderful header as well. Really good header. Great delivery. And it's Castrovilli who has scored.
So I'm going to go for another Italian young guy, Nicolò Zaniolo. He scored in 3 straight Serie A games, and in between, or initially, actually, he scored against Borussia Mönchengladbach, and then scored in the last 3 games for Roma. And he's just been fantastic. Gianni says he's the second coming of Christ.
Easy on that, Gianni. Easy on
that. First he has to turn. How old is he? First he has to turn 21.
Yeah.
You know, let him turn 21 first, and then
and then we can talk.
And then we could talk. But in all seriousness, he was a star against Napoli, and so he's got to be my MVP of the week. And then Gianni, his MVP goes to Mario Balotelli for not standing up for the racism that. He faced in Verona and then coming back to score. So for Gianni, his MVP of the week is Mario Balotelli.
Romolo's got Matteo Salem, goes back to Balotelli. Oh, Mario Balotelli! Out of nothing, brings pressure back into the game.
So regarding that racism that Balotelli faced in Verona, obviously here the Calcio guys, we don't like to see that. We've been talking about it over and over. It gets me sick that I even have to waste my breath on these monsters out there and in the Verona fan base. So we once again, it's a collective red card for us here at the Calcio guys, as we're gonna get into our cards of the week. And
I hate giving it airtime.
Yeah, exactly. We hate giving it airtime. So it's a red card. We hope the Serie A does something. Verona is actually gonna ban their. Leader of the Ultras group who said some really nasty things, and their curva, their fan group, is going to be closed for the next game. So it's a step in the right direction. Let's move on. We don't have enough time, so we're going to get one card each this week.
Sounds good.
So Adrian, you take it away.
Yeah, so I mean, all this refereeing talk got me thinking. I mean, I've been working on social media. Obviously, Dimitri, you know, cleared out a lot of things there, but I still think there was a point that he made personally that communication and you know, the referees are, you know, are strict but fair, and you know, are there for the players. Personally, I find in the Serie A, it's not always the case. I find a lot of these referees, as he mentioned, you know, they see these players almost week in, week out, you know, whatever the case is there. I just find that these referees, you know, there's a bit of an ego with them. And I think that overrules, you know, certain calls and certain decisions. And decision making when there is calls to be made. And obviously with this VAR, you know how I feel about the VAR. Personally, I don't always find it right, but at the end of the day, you know, it's the referee that has to go and play around with the VAR too. So also, I mean, I found a bit disgusting Rocky there at the end of the Roma-Napoli game. Tonelli going to give him the game ball. He totally looked at him and turned away. And
that was Giacomelli.
Giacomelli. Sorry, yeah. Not Rocky. Sorry, excuse me. Giacomelli. That act, I think, is personally unprofessional. And I believe it was him too. Or no, was it Rocky with the comments to Insigne?
Yeah.
That he did more worse things on the pitch than he did after Insigne just wanted clarification. Personally, for me, unprofessional and merits a bit of a red card this week.
This is going to be a red card. And is that going to change the course of the game?
So for you?
And I was actually going to give a red card to the players who get up in the faces of the referees because, especially against Napoli, you know, Giacomelli was trying to listen to the VAR and everybody's just surrounding him. And it's frustrating to see. I know, obviously, referees do have to stand up. They sometimes have to have an ego, especially in the Serie A where it seems as if the players just want carte blanche to insult the referee, get up in their faces, coaches too. So I'm on the other side of that. I think everybody needs to calm down. I know we play ball hockey together. You know how I could be with referees. I once asked the ref when his Just for Laughs show was going to be because the reffing was an absolute joke and he stopped the game on the spot. But from an outsider's perspective for the Serie A, players have to calm down. But I wanted to give my yellow card to Ronaldo and Ronaldo fanboys specifically because of his celebration and against Genoa. He scored a penalty to win the game in the 94th minute, but he did nothing all game. Dybala was the best player. It should have been Dybala taking it. And then you go online, all I see is, Ronaldo in the 96th minute! He's clutch! Like, calm down. Please calm down. You know, I understand. It's a difficult penalty to take, but you don't need to react like that. It's a game against Genoa. It's not the Champions League. He wasn't even the best player all game. I already said, it already was Dybala, so it's a yellow card to Ronaldo.
And he now sees a flash of yellow before his eyes.
So Gianni gives his card of the week. Sorry to Carlo Ancelotti. I guess the way he coached. I guess Atalanta, against Atalanta because he didn't coach against Roma. But we're going to take a short break here on the Calcio Guys on CJO 6090. On the other side of break, previewing Serie A match day 12.
Located at the heart of both campuses, the Hive Cafe strives to be a model food system at Concordia University that provides food through sustainable practices and empowers the student community. Get a lifetime membership for $10 and receive a 10% discount off every purchase. For more information, visit hivecafe.ca.
Dust off your boots, pour some sweet tea, and tune in to the freshest of folk, roots, acoustic, and more, along with some favorites from the past. The best of old and new meet together in The Alley. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. only on CJLO 1690 AM.
Yeah, it's CJLO. We respect the music our DJs choose to play.
Are they playing f***ing Coldplay?
How long will they wait?
CJLO!
Welcome back to the Calcio Guys on CJO 1690. So we just had our, heated discussion about the whole referees. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming this week. After
I could have exploded, but they would probably shut down their station over there.
Yeah, exactly. So. The CRTC would have had something to say about that. But I guess we leave our passion in our living rooms when we watch the league. I hope no TVs were broken this weekend.
No, but... It was close. Even my dad got heated, and I love to see when he gets heated over sports. It's always a spectacle to see there. But I think me and him were both going bananas over this weekend. And personally, I think it's rightfully so. But at the same time, you know, there's always another way to look at things. But I mean, everybody will have their own opinions, and I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day.
As I've said before, only in Italy do we waste our time talking about the referees, and the referees give us this opportunity. In Italy, there's two daily newspapers dedicated to only to sports.
Yeah.
Two, Corriere dello Sport and Gazzetta dello Sport. So refereeing and all this controversy in the Serie A keeps journalism alive in Italy. Moving forward, Champions League. It's already started. Match day 4. Already match day 4 out of 6.
Crazy.
In a group stage in the Champions League. Barcelona. Barcelona against Slavia Praha.
What's the score? I didn't check. What is it?
Don't look.
Okay.
I'm gonna. Can you guess the score? It's a crazy score.
They're at the Camp Nou, I believe. No.
Yeah.
They're in Barcelona. I want to say Slavia Prague maybe doing something, but I don't know. I'm going to say 4-0 Barcelona.
0-0.
0-0. Look at that. Hey, Slavia Prague. Look at that.
0-0 finished. And then in the other game, Zenit beat Leipzig.
That's actually big. Sorry, for who? That's good. Big for Inter.
Yeah, exactly. Zenit is losing to Leipzig 2-0 in the 94th minute. So, yeah, big for Inter. They're in Dortmund today. So now Barcelona picks up the point. So Inter is still 4 points behind Barca, but if they find a way to pick up 3 points in Dortmund, it's not going to be easy whatsoever. That yellow wall there is so tough to play in.
That's scary.
But if they can get 3 points, they're only going to be a point behind Barca.
Yeah, you said it. You summed it up really well. I think last game, because they switch it over with they're playing. They played Dortmund last match day. Now they're playing them again. Last match day, I think was obviously, as we mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago. It was a must win for Inter. They got the job done at home against Dortmund, and now they have to go to Dortmund, to face this squad. So I think it's going to be tough, as you said, but I think they can get it done. I think after must win mentality a couple weeks ago to coming into this match day, they should be full of confidence. They should go out there and put everything on the pitch. And I think that, as much as it pains me, I guess, to say, because I'm a Milan fan, but I think, they have the means to do it, and I think they have the players to do it. And I think, the coach on the touchline is an added bonus for them as well. So I think, as you said, they're going to be tough in Dortmund, but I do think they can get the job done.
So Napoli hosts Salzburg today. That was a game that finished 3-2 for Napoli. What was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah,
2 weeks ago. And considering how Napoli's been playing, and considering that Salzburg is not a weak team, they're a really strong team. They have a really good striker up top, that 19-year-old kid.
Holland,
whose name I forgot. But this is a perfect opportunity to forget what's happening in the Serie A, to forget about their problems and continue their form, their undefeated form in the Champions League.
I totally agree. I think, obviously, you mentioned earlier on the show, the little retreat that they got going on. Not a good retreat, a bad retreat, I guess you can say. They're stuck at the...
Yeah, they didn't go trick-or-treat.
Yeah, they didn't go trick-or-treating. They're stuck at Villa Stewart, whatever their training ground is, in Naples. So I think, they're a bit pissed off. And I think, that anger hopefully comes out in this game. I think, as you said, forget about the past. You can only worry about the future. And I think for Napoli's sake, in Champions League and in the Serie A, I think that's the mentality that they have to have. I'm a big Ancelotti supporter. I've said it since day one, since he got there. So I think he is an added bonus as well. And I think slowly, I think this team can do great things. But I just think if they have to be there mentally. If they're down there mentally, forget about it. But if they're there mentally, I think they can do some great things.
So Juventus is in Moscow tomorrow with a game against Lokomotiv Moscow.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy, considering that Moscow almost upset them at home, except for Paul Dybala. He had a few things to say. And then Atalanta hosts Man City. That's not only a physical challenge against a top team like Man City, but that's a mental challenge, considering they just lost 5-1 in Manchester.
Yeah, and then they went to go lose 2-0 against Cagliari in the Serie A as well. So I think, again, a bit of a down in terms of those results there for Atalanta, but I've said it since they came into Champions League. They should go into every game, no fear. Their backs are against the wall. They're obviously in last place. They have really nothing to lose. They are at home in the new Giuseppe Stadium against, one of the better teams across Europe in Man City. So, again, they got a beating last time they played. And obviously that was in Manchester. But, they did score a goal.
It's actually at the San Siro, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah. They're playing their Champions League games at the Stade. You're right.
But okay, even so,
yeah,
it's still in your home region, your home country for that matter. So I think a lot of fans will go out there and support. So, I mean, as I said many times, you know, Bang gets the wall for Atalanta, but they're a team that can do great things. And I mean, will they get a result? Maybe not. But I think if they give it to Man City, I think a lot of people will be looking at Atalanta's way and saying, you know what, this team can do great things in Europe.
So Serie A match day 12, game of the week, is between our two clubs, Adriano, yeah, Milan, and Juventus.
Yeah.
Unlike Gianni, we each support one club. So we never
totally
have...
Totally ridiculous that he supports two clubs. Totally ridiculous.
So we never have a dilemma.
No.
That when our two clubs meet, like his did this weekend on the Derby Delle Colli, as he called it.
Yeah.
But Juventus hosts Milan, if I'm not mistaken.
On Sunday, they host Milan, yes.
Sunday at 2:45. It's a real challenge for Milan, straight up.
Yeah, it's a big challenge. But I mean, look, Juventus hasn't been playing the greatest football either these past couple of weeks. You know, they tied Lecce, scraped a win against Torino in the Derby. And I don't think, you know, I mean, Sarri, okay, say what you want. I mean, I don't think his system has really played a whole factor. They, you know, they have a bit of an issue in the midfield, I personally think. You know, their players are not up to par. But is Pjanic back?
Yeah.
He is back?
Yeah, he played against Torino.
Did he play against Torino? Oh, true. He did play against Torino. You're right. I think, obviously, he's a big factor in the midfield for them. Ronaldo, I don't know, man. He's been, what? You know, obviously, the PK goal, and you're drawing the soft penalty. I won't say the word I really want to say.
It was a penalty
in that game, but
it was a penalty. You don't stick out your foot with a guy with the ball in the box, but whatever. Anyway, we should have asked Dimitri about that.
Yeah, we should have. Actually,
if that's a penalty on Milan, I don't hear you talking.
If it's a penalty on Milan,
yeah, you wouldn't have said anything.
Of course I would. It's a soft call. I think all these calls that we've been talking about are soft. I mean, if a barely touch, a little chin on the shin pads merits you know a penalty like that in that time of the game. I mean, it just sad to see that we came to that. But nevertheless, moving on from that, I think yeah, tough game for Milan, obviously at the Allianz Stadium. But I mean, again, like Atalanta in Champions League with Man City, I think it's going to be an uphill battle for this Milan team. Hopefully, they don't get blown out. I would take any sort of positive result. Do they get it? I don't know. But hopefully, some sort of luck can go their way. I don't see it happening, but we can always pray.
So, Fabio Grosso, his first game for Brescia is against Torino. Saturday, 9 a.m.
Also, sorry to cut you off. Is Big Mike listening?
I didn't get any text from Big Mike.
Big Mike, if you're listening, to Charles Sports Bar and Grill on Sunday. Well, hopefully a lot of people will be there. If you want to join the club, info@MilanClubMontreal.com. Give them a shoot them a message. They're on all social media platforms if you want to become a member.
Just like the Couch Guys is on all social media platforms too.
Yes, sir.
At the Couch Guys.
At the Couch Guys.
I digress. Fabio Grosso, his first game is against Torino. I think I'm going to go out and buy a Brescia shirt now. Maybe with Balotelli on
I wanted
back.
That from the get-go. As soon as Balotelli came, I wanted Balotelli. It's so hard to find. I actually looked online.
Do you think they have it on mine jerseys?
I didn't check there yet because I don't know. They changed their URL more times than I changed my underwear. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know if they have it.
You change your underwear once every 2 months?
Well, I don't know. They change it every day, their URL. But anyways.
We digress.
Again.
Cagliari hosts Fiorentina.
Good game.
For two teams who finished low in the standings last year, this is going to be a fantastic match.
Very, very good game. I think besides Juve Milan, I think it's up there in one of the games of the week. Cagliari coming off a great result against Atalanta. Fiorentina, obviously, a good team. You know, getting mixed results over this early on in the season. But I think you know they can definitely do damage, I think, in Sardinia.
Parma host Roma, Sampdoria. Well, they host Atalanta. Nothing special there. Napoli host Genoa.
They better hope it's on a blowout, Sampdoria. They're also going to go back down to last place.
Napoli host Genoa. Normally, that's not a great game, but Thiago Motta, his team has looked good so far. I know it's only been a handful of games, but they look good. They didn't have the best execution against Udinese, but they're... Their play leading up to Pandev's goal was absolutely fantastic, and they have an identity, finally.
Yeah, they're a team a bit under the radar. I mean, the first game in charge for Motta was, you know, spectacular. Obviously, his subs paid dividends in that game there. But as you said, obviously, it's still early, and, it, you know, it's a lot to hop in a short period of time for this squad. But I do think that they have some young good players. Obviously, I love Kwame Pinamonti as well. You know, obviously, you know, the other players that they have on their squad are good as well. So I think they go under the radar a bit, and hopefully they can get some good results in the future.
So Sassuolo hosts Bologna. We easily forget about this. Would you say derby? I mean, two teams in Emilia Romagna.
Yeah.
But it's on Friday. It's on Friday. Why are you putting a big regional game like this on a Friday, Serie A?
Yeah, because they're over there. They don't work here. Unfortunately, you know, we have jobs or school or stuff, other commitments to doing here in North America. They don't think about us. And, you know, we have to go on break and we have to go watch these types of games. But, you know, it is what it is. That's what Serie A brings every week.
Anyways, that will do it for us here on the Calcio Guys. Thanks for listening. We won't be in studio next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Here on the Couch with Guys on CJO 6090.
Ciao.
You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.